This is a special edition of Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Happy Holidays! This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Absolutely no Grinches allowed. Forget what you think you know about church and Christmas.
Lord be with you. In reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" When none of them found to return and gave praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The true gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord, the words of light. Okay, be seated, please. I say good evening to you. Happy Thanksgiving. It was the day before Thanksgiving, and an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said to him, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that you and your mother and I are getting a divorce. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other. And so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her. Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "They're getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, "You are not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't you do a thing. Do you understand me?" The man hung up his phone and turned to his wife. "Okay, honey. The kids are coming Thanksgiving, and they're paying for their own flights." Yeah. Thanksgiving holiday gives us the perfect opportunity to transform our lives from those of griping and dissatisfaction to lives of joy and gratitude. Thanksgiving is a good holiday for us to turn the corner and become grateful people. God wants nothing more for us to be people of thanksgiving and gratitude. Huh. Alan Perkins says, "A thankful spirit is one of the key distinguishing marks of a Christian. It sets us apart from the world. It makes us different." From Psalm 118, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." The benefits of a thankful spirit. Why do you think being a thankful person is so important? Well, because thankfulness is good for us. There are many ways being a thankful person can benefit you. Being a thankful person can increase your personal happiness. and most of us think our happiness is determined by our circumstances. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you right now? You might say, well, I'm about a 2 on the happiness meter because of my circumstances. We've been taught that our happiness is somehow dependent on how well things go for us, but really our happiness is determined by attitude. It is really in how we see things. The Apostle Paul wrote these words from prison. Yes, prison. Rejoice in the Lord always, he wrote. And again, I say rejoice. Paul was happy despite being in prison, and he learned to thank God in everything he did. It was really his perspective, his outlook on life. I am thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. My shadow who watches me work because it means I'm out in the sunshine. A lawn that needs tending to, kitchen and bathrooms that need cleaning, and this and that needs fixing because it means I have a home. My huge electric bill because it means I'm comfortable. All the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. The person in the front row church who sings off key because it means I can hear. The piles of laundry because it means my loved ones are nearby. The dogs who constantly fight for my attention because it means I'm needed. The weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means I have been productive. Happiness is really determined by our perspective in life, not by circumstances. If we learn to be thankful people, despite circumstances, that will greatly improve our happiness. Now, being a thankful person can also improve your witness for Christ. Having a noticeable countenance of thankfulness and joy will certainly make us better witnesses for Christ. What is sad is that some Christians are the most negative, sour people in the world, mean-spirited and ungrateful. We act like we have been baptized in vinegar, not in the Holy Spirit. There's no wonder people don't want anything to do with us. But when we are thankful, joyful, upbeat people, we attract the lost with our spirit of gratitude because the world is so dark and depressing and ungrateful. Have you looked at this world lately? People are so discouraged. Yet if we can learn to be different, upbeat, and thankful, we will attract them. We have something they don't. From 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Living a life of thankfulness will attract the lost. Being a thankful person will also enhance your relationships. There's one thing I notice about some married couples. After a while, many of them become ungrateful and unappreciative of their spouses. Over time, they take each other for granted. Somebody described the first few years in a marriage this way. The husband, seeing the wife has a cold, says, "You don't look good. You should go to the hospital. I've already arranged it. I know the food is bad there, but we're going to have meals catered in." The second year, he says, "You don't look so good. I've called the doctor. Go and lay down. I will take care of the kids. The doctor will be right over." The third year, he says, "You know, you're not looking so hot. When you're done feeding the kids and cleaning up the kitchen, you ought to go lay down." The fourth year, he says, "Would you quit walking around here barking like a seal? You're going to give me your cold." The longer we become familiar, the less thankful we are for each other. But imagine about how much your marriage would improve if you came home one day with some flowers and just told your spouse how thankful you are for all they do. You might give them a heart attack. Well, just think about how much your marriage would improve if you told your spouse how much you appreciated him once in a while. Just imagine how much better our church relationships would be if we expressed our thanks for each other from time to time. Instead of picking at each other's faults so much, what if we just stopped and became grateful for each other? Do you know how the Apostle Paul began most of his letters in the Bible? Number one, church in Rome. First, I thank my God for all of you. Number two, church in Corinth. I always thank God for you. Number three, church in Ephesus. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Number four, church in Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you. Number five, church in Colossae. I always thank God when I pray for you. Paul made sure that he let people in his churches know that he was thankful for them. Imagine how much better our church and relationships would be if we expressed our thanks for each other. I'll tell you another way of having a grateful heart will benefit you. It will solidify your relationship with God, which is the top benefit. Someone once said that God lives in two places. He lives in heaven and in a humble, grateful heart. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 says, "Let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts." A 12-year-old boy named David was born without an immune system. He underwent a bone marrow transplant in order to correct the deficiency. Up to that point, he had spent his entire life in a plastic bubble in order to prevent exposure to common germs, bacteria, and viruses that could kill him. He lived without ever knowing human contact. When asked what he'd like to do if and when released from his protective bubble, he replied, "I want to walk barefoot on the grass and touch my mother's hand." Get it right. We have it so good. We enjoy it so much, and often we express it so little. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is God's plan, His will for us to give thanks to Him. He made us for that. There are ways to develop thanksgiving in our lives. First, if you want to be thankful, remember that everything we have is from God. Acknowledge that everything we have is God's and not ours. From Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." When we do this, it reminds us that it is a privilege that God has loaned us everything we have. From 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "What do you have that you did not receive from God? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" Snoopy took one look at the dog food and said, "This isn't fair. The rest of the world today is eating turkey with all the trimmings and all I get is dog food." "Because I'm a dog," he said. "All I get is dog food." He stood there and stared at the dog food for a moment and said, "I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey." Everything we own, we ultimately receive from God, and we owe Him thanks. James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting sand." Furthermore, if we want to be thankful, we need to avoid complaining. Dr. Dale Robbins writes, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discomfort, discontent, and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Complaining makes us miserable. Psalm 77, verse 3 says, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Complaining is the opposite of thanksgiving. The two cannot coexist in the same heart. And so I challenge you to try to quit complaining for just a whole month, 1 month. Just try it. When you feel tempted to complain, instead of filing your complaint, file a praise. It will change your life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." Develop the daily discipline of giving thanks. In order to be thankful people, we need to start to give thanks every day, not just once a year on Thanksgiving. We need to disciple ourselves to find something each day that we should be thankful for and express our thanks to God. Thanksgiving must become a daily habit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for the Father for everything." Always is a key word, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day. In Daniel chapter 6, we read that Daniel got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed, gave thanks to his God. And how many of us do that? Remember the old hymn, "When upon life's pillows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Thanksgiving is a daily discipline. If you own a Bible, you are abundantly blessed, because 1/3 of the people in this world do not have access to a Bible. If you awoke this morning with more health than illness, you are blessed than 1 million people, more blessed than 1 million people who will not survive the week. If you have never experienced the danger of war, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are more fortunate than 500 million people on earth. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, $20 in your pocket, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. Forgive me, God, when I whine. I found this list of questions you can ask to test whether you are a grateful person or not. Number one, which do you tend to talk more about, your blessings or your disappointments? Number two, are you a complainer, always grumbling, always finding fault with your circumstances? Number three, are you content with what you have or always dissatisfied, wanting more? Number four, do you find it easier to count your blessings or is it easier to count your afflictions? Number five, You express thanks to others when they help you, or do you just take it as your due? Number 6, would others say that you are a thankful person? Happy Thanksgiving. Amen.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
Okay. Look, I know it was a long day today. It's Thanksgiving. It's late service. I appreciate you and your patience for being here late. We're going to do one announcement today. Just one. We're going to get off the hook easy. Because guess what? You're going to come back on Sunday. I got all of them for you on Sunday. So, one announcement. I just got to get to it here. It's the last one on here. And it's this one right here. Please don't forget, this Sunday, November the 26th, service will be at 11 a.m. 11 a.m. Sunday the 26th. There will be no 3 p.m. It should not say p.m., not o.m. service. 3 p.m. service on the 26th. There will only be one service at 11 a.m. That's it, folks. Man, I have no problem with the OM. The OM is a very powerful event, but it won't be happening that day. How about that, okay? So, 11 o'clock on Sunday, folks. That's a couple days away. So, you can yell, if you didn't yell your announcements today, I'm sorry. You'll get your fix on Sunday, okay? We'll be all ready for that. All right? Next Sunday, 11 a.m., which is the middle of the night for me, so please, you know, bear with me on that day for sure. All right? Guess what? You made it. Let us rise for our dismissal, please.